Are you ready to think big and act bold? Then you are in the right place. This is Innovative Entrepreneurs, a podcast that will bring you the stories, insights, and tips from some of the most successful and innovative entrepreneurs in the world. I am your host, Erica Bailey, and I am here to help you start, scale, and sustain your own entrepreneurial journey. Let's get started.
Today, I have a really cool guest. First off, I have this amazing space. This is Robin Hood Studios in Clearfield, okay? And this is their podcast studio. And what I love about it, other than the professionalism, is this whole back area, like you can mix it up and change it to be what you want. Now, this green is totally like my company color, almost. But you can change all this stuff to make it more relatable to what you're trying to do. And I think that's cool. That's so cool. So loving the space. We got to thank Cameron and Genesis for always making this fun. All right. So back to business. Today, I am talking to Mr. Landon Clark. He is the VP of Operations at Industrial Process Services, or IPS, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And today we're going to talk a little bit more about ethics, and our conversation is going to be not really related to the business, more than related to human behavior. Landon, can you just tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we'll move on to the cool stuff?
Absolutely. IPS, Industrial Process and Services, we were paid a military contract to develop new cleaner and degreasers and bring those to the market, whether it's aerospace or industrial overall. On top of that, we offer a service side where we do heavy industrial cleaning, whether it's military bases or commercially or industrially. So our products are kind of who we are and where we're going with things. And, you know, we have a lot of cool things to bring to the market here very, very soon. And some of it's already out there and being used in different facilities and aerospace as well. But we're very, very excited on the opportunities we have within our company. So
this is awesome. So the reason I invited Landon is, I mean, obviously he's a cool guy and there is a connection because we help them with their services, with our marketing. But I find Landon a very authentic, ethical, but has some little sass to him. And I think there's a very good conversation we can have here. It's different than, oh, what do you do for, you know, for a living? What's learning from businesses? And today we're going to kind of delve in a little bit deeper, right? Are you prepared for this?
I am as ready as I can be, right?
So. All right. So here's the thing I know about Landon. He has an entrepreneurial mindset that is just organic and natural, and he truly has a love for what he does. So my question to start off with for you is, how did that happen? Like, you're the VP of sales of this business, but you, sales and operations?
Sales and operations. Okay. Pretty much the guy
pretty
who wears any
guy.
Hat, right?
There you yeah. go. Yeah. So, but it's not your company, but I have never seen so much passion from somebody working within a company. So this is why I invited him, because I love that. I always talk about business owners and entrepreneurs, but you know, I never really think about beyond that. And so this is going to be cool. Okay. So how did this entrepreneurial mindset start?
Well, I would say, you know, it dates back to ever since I was young, you know, growing up and, you know, had an entrepreneurial dad, very innovative, came from you know, American soldier father and a German immigrant mother that could barely speak any English. You know, that's a crazy love story. We'll get on that topic of another day. But
totally,
you know,
can't
right, right. So he came from a very poor background, and everything that he built for himself and his family, he did it on his own. So it goes from, you know, I'll speak on him for a little bit, and. You know, we'll talk more about him a little bit later on, I'm sure, as you ask me certain questions and stuff. But it really starts with him. He ran a music studio. He was such a great salesman that he was actually bringing in more commission than the actual owners of the music store himself. Ended up buying them out. I don't know how many years he ran it as a music store, but he was a drummer. So was my whole family.
Are you
so,
a drummer?
Yeah, I am. I'm a drummer. Played the drums ever since I was, you know, before I could walk, actually. So, yeah, there's a long, lengthy reason in why I am the way I am. But
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. We're going to get into that because I want to know, like, what songs you love.
Okay, absolutely.
Keep going.
So, you know, he had this music store, and I'm sure it was, you know, a decade that he ran it, if not longer, transitioned into a custom sound system business. And his clientele were, you know, schools, churches, auditoriums, gymnasiums, coliseums. So, you know, that was all the way up until, you know, 2002 when he unfortunately passed away. He had a rare brain tumor disease that fortunately took his life, right? But, you know, he was an innovator. He was getting ready to start e-commerce and sales before, you know, who knew what e-commerce was, excuse me. So very, very cool. But, you know, just all the memories and the way he operated, he always had an answer for something, right?
Okay.
Even if he didn't have a correct answer, you know, he always knew what to do, right? So very inspiring. And, you know, I look back and I'm like, wow, I have these memories of at a very young age of just remembering certain things he did or just certain aspects in my life. And that dates back all the way to, you know, me being 2 years old with my family in Germany visiting, you know, that side of the family, right? So, you know, after getting locked in a closet by some of my cousins over there, I'll never forget
in
that.
Germany?
In Germany.
Oh,
yeah, they were
okay.
Jealous because I was getting all the attention. And,
Do you speak German?
I don't.
Okay.
My nephew's actually in school right now at a German school. So, very
right.
Cool. My sister's done that. But, you know, not to get sidetracked.
I squirrel all the time.
Right,
so you're going to have to keep me on the right path here.
So back to the music industry side with my dad, you know, he was in bands and stuff and very successful with that. Had a lot of connections in the industry and stuff. And he always told, you know, my siblings and my mother, there's no middle class in music. You know, it's you're poor or you're rich, right? So he never wanted us to go down that route, even though we do have the talent to play drums and musically inclined and stuff. He didn't want us to go that route. So he always pushed sports, which baseball was a sport he always pushed,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
look like a baseball player.
You know, I kind of know a little bit about baseball. But anyway, you know, he was a huge Braves fan and wearing my Braves hat today.
Okay.
You know, so
represent
that. Love my ATL Braves. But yeah, he always pushed us to baseball. And I started, you know, lessons at a very, very young age. I think I was five when I started taking my first lessons. And I've always wanted to be a catcher at a young age. And my mom and dad were like, that's too dangerous. Like, we don't want you doing that. Let's do pitching lessons. So it was cool because I started doing pitching lessons. And then a few years went by, I got thrown in, you know, on a baseball team that I don't know what happened to the catcher, but they put me behind the plate. And that's when it started. So, you know, through those experiences, starting at a very young age, I continued to play traveling baseball all the way up until, you know, I went to college and played baseball in college for a very brief time. And that's actually a very important piece to my life right now because, you know, I made the dream, that next step of the dream to play baseball in college. You know, I was there playing, ended up with having a single mom and a single income and stuff, you know, I didn't have gas money to go a town over from where we lived in the college I was playing at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it kind of really got to me where I started having to think heavily, you know, what am I going to do? And this former coach I had, his name's Scott Bankhead. You can look him up. His credentials are killer. The training facility he runs still today is amazing.
And you're from down south, right?
I am from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yep, Lexington, North Carolina, if you ever heard of it.
I'm going to tell you something real quick in terms of pitchers. My first son, when he was born, it was like, oh, probably 3 or 6 months. And it was right when the Diamondbacks were about ready to win the World Series. Like everybody was totally into baseball in my house. And I've always been a Sun Devil football fan.
Yeah.
Like never really did baseball, but my son was originally right-handed, we could tell. So we taught him how to use his left hand because we wanted him to be a left-handed relief pitcher.
That is the way to go.
And we did
that
it, but he never played baseball. He
right,
played
yeah.
football.
Baseball's a hard sport. I mean, you know, it's the percentage to making it to the bigs is very, very small and stuff. And, you know, it's a grind. You know, I have a lot of guys I've played with or, you know, friends and stuff that, you know, I know a few people in the show, but a lot of the guys that, you know, we always thought, oh yeah, they'll be in the show, never made it. It just shows you how tough it is. And mentally, you know, that's the big aspect of it is how mentally tough you have to be to be able to make it. You know, that's 75% of it probably, right? And going back to just you know, making it to college and having to give that up and making that hard decision where, you know, one thing he said that always stuck in my mind is, you know, everybody, you know, wants to play as long as they can, but at the end of the day, you have to hang up your cleats at some point, right? He said it in some variation of that. And that always stuck with me. And to that day, I remember thinking to myself of what he said. And I'm like, you know what? I need to make a change and do something differently, even though that was my dream at that time. Mm-hmm. And that felt like everything I poured my heart and soul and worked, you know, day in, day night, doing that through high school and even younger than that, you know, I had to make that huge decision in my life. And it didn't make sense to me at that time, but I knew that that was the decision I had to make, right? And, you know, I ended up going and chatting with our college coach and being like, look, here's my situation I'm in. I got to do something different. I'm going to have to quit. He knew somebody at the previous company I used to work for. I won't mention them, but
good.
The previous company, the company I used to work for, and he was like, hey, let me reach out to him. And, next thing I know, I go the next day, I've already, you know, quit the team, but you know, this coach was amazing. And, he lined it up and, got me in with the GM and I started, you know, doing lower level work of, you know, pulling orders, pushing a broom, that type of stuff, and kind of built my way up. And, you know, I always remember that somebody's always watching you. My mom always told me that. Somebody's always watching what you're doing, right? And
go mom.
Right, right. She's a great mom. So
that's like good wisdom right there.
Right. No, she has a lot of it. A lot of it that I think about daily. And that's, you know, we'll get into that more on throughout this podcast. But yeah, that stuck in my head, and I just kept working hard, and you know, I was still going to school full time, so that was super tough going to school full time.
What were you going to school for?
Business management.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so going to school for that. You know, started working full time, doing school full time. It's a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all that on my plate and stuff, I got offered, you know, to move to Utah, here in Ogden, Utah, to run their, you know, distribution facility. And, you know, I was still going to school full time. And I'm like, look, if I don't take this opportunity, then I might not have a job when I finish a year from now. And I knew it was only a year of finishing, right? And I was like, I got to take this, you know.
Yeah.
Back up a little bit. At age 14, I went to Holland to play baseball. So
Holland.
I didn't go with Holland. Yes. Yep. The country. You know, went out there at 14. I was there for like a month, played on a team. You know, we had chaperones and coaches and stuff, but, you know, family, parents didn't go. So I've always been very independent and driven and
that's
just
what I was gonna
going
say.
After it, right?
It sounds like that's where those morals and those values and that those ethics to be a entrepreneur with a team.
Right.
You are very independent. You were always taught to work hard. You were always taught to care and feel responsible for your own decisions.
Absolutely.
To learn from your decisions. And that was instilled from you from a very young age.
It was. You know, I can remember my mom, you know, letting me know some of the things the coaches would come back, tell her. And one of them that stuck in my brain was, you know, he's kind of that perfect mold of you know, a player we want to coach. He's, you know, very, very focused, driven, and, you know, he's very respectful. So I hold that standard in my life still to this day very, very high that, you know, when somebody's speaking to you, you look them in the eyes, right? And, you know, just always be respectful. And, you know, here's a little bit of wisdom my mom always spoke to me was, you know, Landon, you know, people aren't going to remember you by what you did, but how you treat them, right? So almost daily, I always think of that. And you never know what somebody's going through in their life and stuff. So it's very important
to me.
Just
be kind.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard, but not that hard, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know how you're going to affect somebody's life, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people that know me will tell you, you know, I'm going to speak, you know, my mind a lot of times respectfully,
no.
Right?
You're from the South,
right,
of course.
Right, right, right. But you know, at the end of the day, you never know what piece they take from you. And, I could say something to, you know, a guy on an airplane, a young gentleman coming back from a mission. Right. And, this has happened and I don't really think about it, but then I'm like, I hope they take a little bit of what I spoke about and they think back one day, hey, this guy on the airplane told me something about that or whatever, you know, and it's,
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio,
a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.
That's how you leave your legacies. I mean, obviously, you know, family legacy, but by the way you impact strangers and how you can maybe change the direction just by simple advice or kindness or anything like that. So we talk a lot about, you know, just between us, that the team you have is awesome.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I guess my question is, why do you think that is? Like, why do you think you have such a good team? Can you help me understand your vision of that?
Well, I think with our team, it's very obviously it's special, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have that many people in the same place, that their reasonings why are just bigger than making money every day or, you know, every week to get a paycheck, to really know what they're wanting in life and their outcome and them knowing my outcome and what, you know, I want in life and what I want to do. I think it's very special to know each other's, right? I think that's what makes a phenomenal team to be able to progress forward and all of our ventures we have, right? And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, of course you need a product to sell, right?
Yes.
Or a service or something like that. But without that team, it doesn't work, right? So I think for our team itself, just everybody being on the same page with our whys, I think that's a huge key. And just ethics. I mean, I work with some phenomenal people that have these huge hearts and the same drive I have. So that makes it easier, especially, you know, me coming from a corporate background and maybe the uppers at the top don't listen to those people on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. I've ran into that many times.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, the ability to give people what they deserve or what they want within reason, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, the position I am is that I'm in today is very unique because I have all that. I'm able to, you know, pay somebody a livable wage, especially, you know, in today's society and, you know, go above and beyond. And, you know, I tell my owners all the time that it's a dream job and it really is. And I'm not money motivated. And I learned this year that, you know, that's the wrong way to put it, because at the end of the day, we all need to have money to be able to operate,
correct,
to do what we want, you know, to help others,
yes,
whatever it is. But I don't think about money in that way. I think about money now as a tool.
Okay.
To help me progress forward, to be able to grow that tree, to be able to help in other ways that I could never imagine. And hopefully that tree keeps getting bigger and bigger and growing. And
it will. Manifestation.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Now, hopefully,
absolutely.
My
right.
tree will keep growing and
exactly.
growing.
Exactly. My tree will
there you
keep
go.
Growing. But, you know, without our team, it would be impossible. And, you know, me not being a business owner, what's the fun and, you know, an opportunity that we have as a company, and risking my own money and, you know, not having these resources that, you know, say if I wasn't working with this great team I have, it would be a whole lot harder.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have that cheat code as an entrepreneur in some aspects,
there
right?
You go.
So it's a very unique setting. And like I said, I tell our owners all the time that it's a dream job and, you know, what we can do with it. It's we solve solutions and it's bigger than just that little statement right there. It's on a mass scale of, you know, our products in general, how many lives they can affect and help. And, you know, whether it's, you know, companies saving money in certain spaces and whatever it is.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the world. I mean, it's going to blow up. I mean, I just can't wait. So just keep your eyes open.
I got goosebumps talking about it.
I know.
It is
I'll bring you back after the like official big launch that we're going
to do. Absolutely. I'd love to talk about
it. So we can talk about the journey and how that, you know, but hopefully you like me still.
That's right. That's right. No, I'm sure I will. So.
Okay. So what is your why?
Ooh, it's a loaded question. You know, my why is, you know, it goes back to how I was brought up and watching how my dad operated and my mother and, you know, having my dad ripped away from me at age 9, you know, that's a dagger,
nine.
Right? So a very young age, but, you know, that's where I go back to look back now of who I am today and the things that I went through. And it makes sense to me a whole lot more. And still some things don't make sense to me, right? But you keep learning, you keep moving forward. But, you know, seeing how involved my dad was with my brother and my sister and my mom and as a family, after losing him, I've always wanted that for myself and my own family to build, right?
Okay.
And it was tough, right? That would have been my huge mentor, right?
Yep,
entrepreneur,
yep.
My dad at that. And
But he was your huge mentor, even though he was
still today. Yeah.
Still today. Absolutely. He impacted you so much before the age 9.
You're right.
That he helped shape you into the man that you are today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's phenomenal. Okay. So again, going back to business, having a good team, you know, what elements do you think contribute to secure and stable a business environment? How can employees, even without ownership roles, contribute to the long-term stability and success of the company through their daily actions and mindset? That was a very long question. So we're going to start with, what do you think contributes to a secure and stable business environment?
It goes back to the team members, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to bring in a team member that isn't on board with what you're trying to accomplish as a whole, whether that's, you know, implementing these processes and procedures that they might not be on board with, whether it's one foot in, one foot out. Everybody mm-hmm. has to be on the same page. Holding yourself to a high standard. We want people that do that, right? I feel like I'm a genuine person and...
very genuine.
And I hold that standard high. And I always want to make sure that, like I said, I'm respectful and people remember me how I treat them when I walk out the door today, right?
Yeah, just like
so,
you said.
Going back to your question, I think just having everybody on board and knowing who they are as people, I think that's a huge step forward.
So you come from an entrepreneurial background, but you take such care and ownership of this product and this company and these people. Why do you think that is?
I think it's, I'm just very passionate. And when I get my mind and heart set on something, I go all out as far as, you know, I don't want to do anything half. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do everything up to above and beyond. And like I go back to saying with somebody's always watching, right? And you never know what it leads to. And I've always heard you practice how you play, right? So having those standards in my life and knowing, you know, this opportunity I have with this company that these guys have learned who I am mm-hmm. and what I'm capable of doing and having trust in me only motivates me more and puts more fuel to my fire to, you know, make it happen. You know, I don't need somebody sitting there and holding my hand. I just need a direction of what they want and where to go and let me do it, right? So, you know, and I know that not everybody's wired like that, right? No. And I accept that in my own life with, you know, former employees or whatever it may be, but, you know, bringing the best out in somebody. I feel like, you know, I have those capabilities to do that. I've done that with former employees. I actually have an employee that used to work for me at my old career, that works for me now, and just, you know, helping him, you know, he mold into who he is today. You know, mm-hmm. I talk about a lot where I wish my owners could know who he was, you know, years ago when he worked for me. And I think a big thing is listening.
There you go.
Right? Is being open to listen. That's how you learn. You know, I'm never going to be the smartest person in a room, right? I always want to listen. I'll speak all day,
you
right?
You don't want to be the smartest person in
exactly.
the room. Then you're in the wrong
exactly.
room, man. You
that,
always want
right.
to be surrounded by
right.
people who know more than you
exactly.
so you can learn.
So, you know, just, you know, back to our team, just taking all those factors into account and finding the best people for that position yeah. or whatever it may be. And
putting the right people in the right seats of the bus with the right driver will take you where you're going to go. Okay, so I always ask this question. Who do you think is the best innovator or the most innovative entrepreneur who has influenced you so much?
You probably think I'm going to say my dad, which
that's
huge. You know,
to,
and my dad is obviously a huge impact in my life and just, you know, how everything's been up until today, right? And
right.
further on. I have a good buddy. His name is Drew, and he's an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And that's my Utah family. You know, that's the people we get together for holidays. You know, they come to my son's birthday, and we're just very, very involved, and I love them to death. Like I said, he's an entrepreneur, and what he's done with his business and how hard he's worked, it's very inspiring. But the best part about it is his kids. How respectful, how hardworking. Right, right. It's a very soft spot in my heart.
I got goosebumpies.
Right? So I hope he hears this one day, right? So,
oh, you can send it.
Absolutely.
Can send it. We'll
so,
have the link.
So with his kids, you know, what motivates me is I see how well-rounded his kids are, right? And, you know, they have very nice things, but they are hard workers. They earn every bit of that. And I tell, you know, I've told his son, I'm very close to him. I said, you know, I'm trying to be who your dad is. I'm not trying to be you and your brother. I want you and your brother to be my son and my daughter when they get older. So that guy right there, hands down, is hugely or greatly impacted my life. And, you know, I'm not afraid to give somebody the flowers before they're gone, right? And, you know, Drew, he's a hell of a guy.
Oh, so awesome.
He's who I'm chasing, but in my own version.
I love that. I love that.
It's very
absolutely
cool.
It's having the right people in the room.
It
just
is.
Just like we said.
It is.
Okay. I was going to ask you, what would you tell other people who have a drive like yours, but maybe not a direction? What would you tell them?
They need to find out really what they want in life and, you know, the purpose why they're on earth. I think without those things, you know, it's hard to find your clarity and direction. You know, if you're lost and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's the fogginess going through that. You just, you're a whirlwind, right? And, you know, finding those things in your life, I feel like has been a key element of mine, mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, my faith and having those certain people in my corner, those great mentors, and you know, it's all who you surround yourself with. And I know people have heard that many, many times in their lives, but it's true.
So right people in the room.
It is. I can't stress that enough. So.
You gotta find. I mean, we talk about this all the time on this podcast. You got to find the right tribe.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that will help you with your success. Well, Landon, I appreciate you coming in. This has been fun. This has been really, really fun. I'm grateful. This is different.
It is different,
right? Than I normally talk about. Yeah. So I'm very excited for this episode to go out. Again, his name is Landon Clark, and he is the VP of Sales and Operations at IPS. I cannot wait for you guys to find out what they have in store. I'm telling you, you're going to change things up.
I got goosebumps right now.
I go. So do I. I'm so excited to be a part of this. Again, I am here at Robin Hood Studios in Clearfield, Utah, and I am grateful for their time. We have Cameron and Genesis over here hiding in the background, pretending like he's not there. There we go. Some activity, a smile even. Again, thank you for joining me, Erica, at Innovative Entrepreneurs, and I'll see you soon, Landon.
Sounds good. Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right.
Wow. What a great episode. I hope you had as much fun as I did. If you want more of this goodness, make sure you subscribe so that you get notifications for future podcasts. And if you found value from this, please share it with others. You can visit our website at cwgdigital.com. This is Erica Bailey. I am your host, and I will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio, a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.